Economist and investment expert Peter Bernstein once said, "The biggest risk is not knowing what you're doing." Hi, I'm Rob West. All investments carry some degree of risk. Companies fail and governments fall. So it's important to make sure the return is worth the risk. Mark Biller joins us today to talk about managing investment risk. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest is Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they always know what they're doing. SMI is also an underwriter of this program. And Mark, it's great to have you back.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
So, Mark, the new issue of the SMI newsletter has a focus on risk management. And one of the articles, as you know, that we'll discuss today is the risk of playing it too safe. Now, that sounds like a contradiction in terms. So maybe you can start by explaining it for us.
Yeah, absolutely. It does seem like a little bit of a riddle, but I think the best way to make sense of it, Rob, is by digging into a behavioral phenomenon that the experts call loss aversion. So researchers have found that most people feel the pain of losing money roughly twice as strongly as they feel the joy of gaining money. Let me say that again a little bit differently, just so everybody gets it really clearly. Losses feel roughly twice as bad as gains feel good. Yeah. And so that naturally causes a lot of people to become loss averse, and they try really hard to avoid losses. Sometimes people take that to such a strong degree that it actually undermines their long-term goals. So one of the trickiest parts of investing is we need to take enough risk so that we meet our long-term goals without taking more risk than you need to. And there are some really tangible steps that we can take to reduce or mitigate risk. A lot of those are the things that we talk about frequently on FaithFi. These are things like maintaining an emergency savings fund to minimize the risk of a financial emergency. When it comes to investing, diversifying your holdings rather than putting all your eggs in one basket is sure. Another good example of how we can take tangible steps to reduce our risk.
Yeah, that's helpful. But as you point out in the article, it's also possible for a person to be too risk averse, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And sometimes we actually increase our long-term risk by playing it too safe with our investing decisions. So one example of that is young people not investing aggressively enough. And by doing that, they let the opportunity for long-term compounding to slip away. Now, this one's kind of ironic because young people, we often stereotype them as inherently bold risk takers. You know, we read these stories in the newspaper or whatever about them buying meme stocks and Bitcoin and doing other really risky investing things. And certainly some of them do. But the broad research on Generation Z, that's adults age 27 or younger, really does not back up that perception. So the article we're talking about today discusses a recent national study that found these Gen Zers are the least financially confident generation. 57% of them think that savings accounts are the best way to invest their money. And as you know, Rob, most financial pros would agree that savings accounts are just a really extremely conservative choice for people with several decades of investing time ahead of them. And even when we go up the next step of the age demographic ladder to the millennials, that's people aged 28 to 43, they're also surprisingly risk averse. So a different Schwab study last year found that millennials were especially interested in bonds. Well, again, bonds have historically been the favorite of retirees, not 28 to 43-year-olds. So what these surveys indicate is that younger investors are arguably too loss averse today, and they're making investing choices that are likely to significantly impair their ability to build long-term wealth as a result.
Oh, really interesting, Mark, and really fascinating that we're talking about being perhaps too risk-averse, even in the younger generations. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about how this affects you, how you can prevent being too risk-averse and investing in a way that will allow you to accomplish your long-term goals. Mark Biller with us today, back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Do you have a day you wish you could forget? Maybe the day you lost a job or the death of a loved one. In the midst of heartache, perhaps you asked, why, God, why? If so, you're not alone. It's okay to be honest with God. He can handle our heartaches and our questions. But even as we wrestle with the hard things, it's good to keep in mind what Deuteronomy 32 says about God. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. And so, on those hardest of days, remember, God is still good. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest, insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world, danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, my good friend Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. You'll also find the article we're discussing today from the recent SMI newsletter. It's called The Risk of Playing It Too Safe, and it's available for your reading pleasure. Again, soundmindinvesting.org. Mark, before the break, you were sharing some fascinating data, some research on even the younger generations that were perhaps too risk averse that could actually create more long-term risk because they're not on track to meet their long-term financial goals. That's surprising, and maybe it comes down to younger folks just having less experience with how investments work over time. They're not seeing what can happen down the road. Would you think that's it?
Yeah, I do think that's right, Rob. I would also point out, though, that previous generations didn't have that same conservative inclination when they were younger and when they were less experienced investors. Mm. So I do think there's something else going on here. But you're exactly right that there's a disconnect between making, you know, a safe 5% return in a savings account or a bond today and not recognizing the impact that inflation is likely to have on that relatively low rate of return over time. And, you know, the reason young people should be targeting that higher return of stocks over these many decades that they're saving for retirement is so that they can grow the purchasing power of their savings at a faster rate than inflation over the course of their careers.
Yeah, interesting. And unfortunately, that disconnect, if you will, isn't limited to young people, is it? Tell us about the new retiree that you talk about in the article.
Yeah, it's exactly right, Rob. Retirees often fall into the same trap. So the article talks about a particular 65-year-old new retiree who recently contacted us. They have all their retirement savings in cash. And this retiree told us that she could live just fine on Social Security plus the $450 that she was taking out of her retirement savings each month. So, of course, we asked her, well, how long will your savings last if you keep taking out $450 a month? And to her credit, she knew that answer immediately. She could do that for a little over 25 years. So she felt pretty good. She had run the numbers. She thought she was in good shape. But the reality is she really isn't in great shape because she was failing to factor in this rising cost of living. And because of inflation's corrosive power, I mean, we've seen this in the last 3 or 4 years firsthand, how $450 today is going to buy far less in the future than it does right now. And that means that this retiree's standard of living is unfortunately just going to decline steadily as the years pass. So this is a case where an investor doesn't want to take any risk, but ironically, by playing it so safe, she's not just risking the possibility of financial trouble down the road. She's basically guaranteeing it if she stays on that ultra-conservative path.
Yeah, that's a really helpful example. All right, so for our listeners today, Mark, how do they prevent this from happening?
Yeah, well, to prepare for the future, you know, investors normally need to accept some degree of risk. And that typically means maintaining at least some exposure to stocks even after they reach retirement age. And that's simply because these days, you know, a person needs to plan as if their retirement could last 20 or 30 years. Now, admittedly, it is tricky to dial in that not too much risk, but just enough balance. It is kind of a fine-tuning process. And this is where a good financial advisor or a service like SMI can often really help someone figure out what is that appropriate level of risk and then translate that into a portfolio of stock and bond investments. You know, Rob, as you know, I'm not a big fan of annuities in most cases, but let's take this case of this new retiree we were just talking about a moment ago. You know, even an extremely conservative step like buying an annuity with an inflation rider would likely provide that person with a higher monthly income while also locking in at least a little bit of inflation protection. Yeah. So the point of bringing up that example is there usually are things that can be done, but first the person has to recognize this risk of playing it too safe.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Mark. Annuities, of course, tend to be costly among other issues, and I know they're not my first choice either, although for somebody that wants to transfer that risk to an insurance company, it is an option. But what would you suggest as perhaps a better approach?
Yeah, well, we typically would suggest for SMI investors that really closer to like a 50-50 blend of stocks and bonds is still pretty appropriate for most people as they're hitting early retirement age. If the numbers work for a person, a conservative investor like this one that we've been talking about, they might be able to drop that down to 20 to 30% in stock mutual funds or ETFs and putting the rest of that in fixed income securities. But even there, just keeping that little bit of stock growth exposure is one way to really improve the odds of having enough money in your later years. Now, again, I want to reiterate, we don't take on extra risk just to try to grow our pile as much as possible. We need those returns to be higher than inflation in order to protect our purchasing power. For most people, that means taking on some risk. You know, you want to reduce that risk over time. That's why you scale back your stock exposure. And we constantly remind our readers and members, don't take on more risk than you need. But ironically, recognizing that taking too little risk over the long haul can be as damaging as taking on too much risk. So we've got to weigh the risk of action against the risk of inaction.
Great stuff, Mark. Of course, folks can check out these articles about risk management, and specifically the one we've been discussing today, The Risk of Playing It Too Safe, at soundmindinvesting.org. We're nearly out of time, Mark. Tie a bow on this for us.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess the takeaway, Rob, is investment risk certainly needs to be managed. We're not trying to tell people to ignore the risks involved with investing. To whatever degree possible, you want to minimize your risk. Nobody gets bonus points for taking on more risk than they need to. But against those truths, we need to balance that by understanding sometimes the riskiest thing to do is to play it too safe. You can't go into the bunker too early and expect your purchasing power to keep up, much less grow ahead of inflation over time.
Yeah, and given inflation and the fact that people are living longer with the advances of modern medicine, that just makes this all the more important, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got a plan. Like I was saying earlier, even once you hit retirement, that's not the end of the investing game, because most people have 20 to 30 years that they've got to make that money continue to last.
Mark, we always appreciate your insights, my friend. Thanks for stopping by today.
Always my pleasure, Rob.
That's Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. Again, check out this article, soundmindinvesting.org. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Real-life heroes don't look like the ones in the movies. Mark Nichols doesn't wear a cape. He's a business owner in a small Arkansas town who took a stand when his local library opened their children's section to the radical LGBTQ agenda. When you give today to AFA Action, you're helping to protect the innocence of children. We'll also give you a free copy of Mark's story. It's the latest DVD in our Impact series. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. My name is Rob West, and I'm ready to dive into your calls and questions today. Let's go to Lancaster, PA. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a money market account, and currently I am living off of some of the money that's in that account. And what I'm doing is I'm taking money from my paycheck and putting it into a Roth 403b in an attempt to maximize that Roth 403b saving benefit for retirement. And I was wondering if that seems like a wise choice for that money that I'm using to live off of, which is savings that could be invested elsewhere, and what your thoughts might be about that.
Yeah, so let me just make sure I understand. So you have a straight money market account, not inside a retirement vehicle. It's what we would call a taxable account, correct?
It is a taxable account, yeah.
All right, and what's the balance on that roughly?
About $250,000.
Okay, and how far are you away from retirement, just based on what you're planning on today?
About 30 years.
About 30 years, okay.
Probably.
All right. And how much are you pulling out of the money market every month?
Honestly, not too much. Not haven't really had to pull out too much from that. But okay. I mean, not even $1,000.
Okay. All right. Very good. But it's currently just sitting in money market, and you're pulling $1,000 a month out of it, so $12,000 a year. Now, you're putting 100% of your paycheck in the 403B or just up to the contribution limit, or what are you doing there?
Well, it's not 100%. It's like 75%, because I wasn't sure how much I needed to actually live off of, and it kind of fluctuates from month to month, but it's about 75% every month. My idea was to maximize my yearly contribution to that Roth 403B.
Yeah, it's okay.
And then use the money.
Yeah, so for this year, you know, you can put in $23,000, so you're going to fully max that out as your plan, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, and then what's beyond that, then you're using that to live on beyond the $1,000 a month that you're pulling from money market.
Right. And then actually once I hit that contribution rate, I don't need to pull anything out of that money market account to live. Then I can just live on my paycheck normally.
I see. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I mean, I like that plan, because if you wouldn't be able to fully fund the Roth, a 403B, without pulling from the money market, then, you're not able to get as much into that tax-free growth environment as you are by supplementing your income, at least during those months where you're still under the maximum contribution limit for the year, you're supplementing from the money market. So I think that's a great plan, because as you said, you've got 30 years now for that money inside the 403B that you're maxing out to grow tax-free, which is a powerful vehicle. So I like that a lot. I guess the only question I would have is just, is there a better use in terms of investment strategy for the $250,000. I mean, you're not pulling a whole lot, you know, every year. So if you're only pulling $12,000 a year, you're pulling 5% basically. And so, money markets are paying a decent amount today. That's not going to last forever. So I guess the other question would just be, is there a time now or sometime in the near future for you to actually put some portion of that $250,000 to work so that that's growing beyond what's possible in the money market? Yes, you're adding some risk to it. And if that includes your emergency fund, then I wouldn't put all of it in. I'd keep at least, you know, probably 6 months expenses in the money market. But it seems like just given the withdrawal rate, which is very reasonable, you know, that you could put that to work as well. And even though you'd have capital gains tax on the profits, you know, you could over time hopefully grow that and at least maintain what you're pulling out, if not even see that increase. But I think regardless of what you do with that $250,000, I think the idea that you would slowly, you know, pull money out of that in order to be able to maximize contribution to the 403 Roth is a great idea just because of the power of that Roth IRA.
Okay, great.
All right.
I'm glad to hear I'm sort of in the right line of thinking with it.
I think you absolutely are. The only thing I might add, Steve, that you could consider is doing some true retirement planning with an advisor where you could go a little bit deeper to say, okay, let's say I do max out this 403B Roth, you know, for the next 30 years. What is my ultimate goal? What is my finish line? And I think there's a number that you can assign to that that's just reasonable based on maintaining whatever lifestyle you believe God has called you to beyond your working years to age 95 or whatever age you want to pick. So we can back into that with a math equation. But then there's just kind of the non-financial side, which is between you and the Lord, or if you're married, between you and your spouse and the Lord, that just says how much is enough. And I think we need to decide that for both our lifestyle spending, our monthly spending, but also our accumulation, our balance sheet. And I suspect if you continue on this track, you will have the potential to over-accumulate beyond even what you would decide is your financial finish line. And if that's the case, knowing that now so that you could either accelerate your giving today or in the future, I think would be really helpful. And having an advisor who understands a biblical worldview, I think would really be helpful in all of that analysis. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, I appreciate that. I agree. I don't want to use it just for myself. I do want to do other things and help others.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, and I love the idea of not waiting to give it to death only. Not that you're not giving anything, but you may be able to accelerate it today. I love what Ron Blue, the author, says. He says, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And I think that's a good rule to live by. Hey, there's some wonderful certified Kingdom advisors there in Lancaster, PA. You can find one if you don't have an advisor at our website, faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. faithfi.com. God bless you, Steve. Thanks for calling. We'll be back with more of your questions just around the corner. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. Let's go to Miles City, Montana. Hi, Randy. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Given the current financial uncertainty worldwide, my wife's 401k has been losing money the last couple years. And we were considering cashing it out and paying off our debt so we would be debt-free. Or do you think it would be better to ride it out and see what happens?
Yeah. So give me just a sense of what you've got here. What's roughly the balance today on that 401k?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's been fluctuating so much that,
yeah.
I mean, as far as actual amounts of anything, I don't know right off the top of my head what, you know. Yeah. And I know that it's invested through various things through her employment. She's 60 and plans on working till she's probably 65 or more. So,
okay.
Very good. We have a mortgage. And
all right.
They're wondering if we pay off the mortgage or just let it ride.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a sense of what she's down over the last 12 or 24 months percentage-wise?
Oh, it's been like 20%.
She's down 20% on it?
It's pretty sure that's what in that neighborhood.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you know, I mean, the market obviously has been challenging, although there's been some strength toward the end of last year. I realized prior to that, it was very narrow. It was highly concentrated. The performance of the market to the upside was highly concentrated toward a very small set of high growth major tech companies that expanded a bit toward the end of last year. And I would have hoped that this would have recovered. I do think it's worth having somebody look at the asset allocation just to say, you know, where are we positioned? What percent is to stocks and what type of stocks, international, domestic, small, large cap, and what portion is in fixed income? Are we taking too much risk and trying to pinpoint why it's down so much if, in fact, it is off, you know, that percentage or even anywhere close to that over 24 months? That would be surprising just given how strong the market has been as of late. But with that said, I think this is a worthwhile question. Now, here's the reality, though. Should you pull it out and pay off your debts? Well, I guess the first question is this 401k with a current employer?
Yes.
Okay. So you wouldn't be able to pull it out until she separates from employment typically. Now you may, they may allow it, but in either case, if she's doing that, it would all be added to your taxable income. So that would be a very expensive, you know, tax bill that you would get on those withdrawals. What type of debt would you be paying off?
Just the mortgage is the only debt we have anymore.
All right. And how much do you owe on the mortgage?
$60,000.
And what's the interest rate roughly? Do you know?
It's actually pretty good. I think it's at 2.
Yeah. Yeah. That's phenomenal. And then what do you think you have in this 401k roughly? I mean, are we talking 200,000, 500,000? I mean, how much do you think is in there roughly?
I'm 200,000 somewhere in there.
All right. Yeah. So, you know, apart from you just really having a conviction, you and your wife, Randy, of being debt free, which if you did, I'd say, great, go for it, pay it off and don't look back. But given where that interest rate is and given that, you know, especially with inflation where it is being, it certainly was a lot higher than we're accustomed to, you know, in the last couple of years, it's elevated now, even though it's much better than it was. You know, we need to keep this money, in my view, invested. Now, the question is invested in what? And I think that's where, as you're approaching retirement at 65, you know, I would typically say, you know, you'd probably want to be about 40% in stocks, about 60% in fixed income as a starting point, and you could decide to get more conservative or more aggressive on either side of that. And maybe you have a smaller allocation of precious metals. But that allows you to have some growth component to the portfolio that will help you offset inflation and be able to allow you to pull some amount out every month. Now, I can understand why it's concerning that you've lost a good bit of value, but I think going to the sideline, you know, not only the taxable event by taking the withdrawal, but just getting it out of the market, even, you know, the bond market, you know, I think leaves you with very few investment options. Now, there are more options today because of where interest rates are. So you could put it in a CD and make a good bit of money, you know, 5% plus, but that's not going to last forever. And I would rather you all get repositioned into a portfolio that makes sense for your age and risk tolerance and long-term goals. So we have the option to let this grow, not taking an unnecessary amount of risk, but still give us the ability to offset inflation and allow you all to draw an income from it at some point down the road to supplement Social Security. So I guess my preference would be you connect with an advisor who can look at the menu of choices inside the 401k, perhaps get you and your wife repositioned today, maybe even doing an analysis on how have you actually done over the last 1, 2, you know, 5 years versus the market. And then when it's time to roll it out to an IRA, either continue that same conservative investment strategy, maybe even getting a little bit more conservative at that point, or using an insurance product like an annuity to maybe get a guaranteed rate of return and transfer the risk away from the markets to the insurance company. That's typically not my first choice, but if you all are just really concerned about volatility and the potential for a loss of principal, that's one way to mitigate that risk. And then you just keep moving toward paying off the mortgage over the rest of your working life, you know, through your current payments and if possible, an extra payment or two a year, and just continue to ride that out, especially with this low interest rate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So to get the advice, just go to faithfi.com or connect with Sound Mind Investing.
That's right. Either would be a great option. If you want to find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Montana, you're right. You'd go to faithfi.com, click find a professional at the top of the page, and I'd interview, you know, one or two or three and find one that's a good fit. And they can help you analyze the current investment mix inside the 401k. And then beyond that, could potentially help you manage the money when, you know, once she separates from her employer.
Sure.
All right.
Well, thanks a bunch for the information. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call today. Let me mention, folks, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. Think about this. Inside the app, there is a community of stewards that are sharing best practices, asking questions, encouraging each other on their stewardship journeys, and there's no cost to participate in that. Also, all of our broadcast archives are there, and we bring together the best content in biblical finance anywhere in our Learn tab. And then you could also use the money management, the spending plan portion if you want. It's based on Larry Burkett's digital envelope system. It's all in the FaithFi app. Go to faithfi.com and click app. You can download it today. We'll be right back with your questions. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds' investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. All right, let's head back to the phones. Chicago, Illinois is where we're going next. Joan, go right ahead.
Hey, Rob, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'm getting some mailings from banks recently that advertise CDs at 5%+ rates.
Yeah.
Anywhere from 2 month time period to a year or two. Are there any downsides to using a CD as an investment short term?
No, there really aren't. I mean, the only thing to consider is just that, you know, if you're locking it up, let's say for a year, you're probably going to find yourself in a situation a year from now where rates are a good bit lower than they are today. And so this would be a temporary opportunity. And so if you were looking to try to take advantage of these rates where they are now, you might want to, you know, take advantage of something that doesn't have quite as short of a time horizon on it. So, you know, locking it up in a 4 or 5 year CD, and even though you're not going to get 5.5+, you know, you still may get something around 4, which would be great, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years from now when rates potentially are a lot lower. You could also lock into really high quality, you know, government bonds, let's say, that would pay, you know, take advantage of these higher rates. So that might be the only downside to something very short term in nature. But in terms of the merits of the investments themselves, you know, as long as it's an FDIC insured bank that's or credit union through the NCUA that's offering the CD, then absolutely, this is a unique window where for the last 20 years, we've not seen this as we've had near zero interest rates. And the opportunity to get, you know, 5.5 with government backing is tremendous, and I would take full advantage of it.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for your advice.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling, Joan. Let's go to Tampa, Florida. Hi, Kelly. How can I help?
Hi. We have this savings that we had for our kids to go to college. Unfortunately, they don't want to go anymore. And we need to have some money, so eventually they're going to need it. So we have $150,000 in a life insurance policy through Symetra. But my husband was just saying that there's a penalty to take it out before 7 years.
Okay.
And yep. Also, we have two multi-funds for the boys. We have two sons.
Mutual funds.
Mutual funds, 45 sure. each. And I want to know if it would be good to put in a CD since the CD is 25 for 6 months, I believe, and 5 for 12 months. Is that what I heard like last week or something?
Sure. Yeah. So I think we need to take a step back, Kelly, and just say, okay, so now that you've got this money saved, I heard you say, I think you have $150,000. Is that right? When you put all of this together between the annuities and the mutual funds, is that correct?
No. The life insurance is $150,000. And the multi-fund for each kid is $45,000. So there would be 90,000.
Okay. 50. So 90,000 in the mutual funds. And then the 150,000 that you're saying is the life insurance, is that the death benefit on the policy? Or is that what's called cash value that's building up inside the policy that can be taken out apart from these, you know, redemption penalties that you mentioned?
Death benefit is much higher.
Okay, got it. So it's got about $150,000 in cash value. Okay, yeah. So I think now that the boys have decided not to go to college, we need to redefine the objective of the money. So is this money you want to turn over to them in a relatively short period of time so they can, you know, if they're not going to college, are they going to go to trade school? Are they going to start a business? Are they going to move out on their own and try to get an apartment and just get a job? I mean, what is now the purpose of this money? Because while you were saving it for college, you had a very specific time horizon on it. So we've got to redefine that time horizon, which then informs the investment strategy. Now, with the annuities that sounds like, as you said, there's a much higher death benefit, but maybe the cash value is worth 150. It sounds like there's still what are called surrender penalties on that annuity. So I'd probably leave that alone until those run out. And at that point, you could look at pulling it all out and putting it somewhere else or leaving it there if it offers an attractive rate of return. With regard to the mutual funds, this is where you have a lot more flexibility because if they're not inside a college savings plan or a retirement vehicle where there's penalties by taking it out, you really have unlimited investment options here. And again, that comes down to time horizon and risk tolerance. So we back up and we say, what is the purpose of this money? Is it to give the kids, you know, something for way down the road, like to have for retirement? Is it something that the boys are going to be able to have access to in the next 3 years to start a business or buy a house? And both of those things are very different because one is very short term in nature. That would lead me toward moving toward the CDs and out of the mutual funds because you don't want to take a lot of risk with it. If it's more long term in nature, then you may want to just leave it right where it is in the mutual funds. And, you know, I think an advisor could help you evaluate the merits of the mutual fund to say, are these good funds with a good track record with low expenses? And therefore, we should leave it right there. Or maybe we should leave it in mutual funds, but pick different funds. I'm throwing a lot at you here, though. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes, it does make sense. We don't want to do this right away. One is 17, one is 20. But yes, in 3 years, I believe that they already have some plan in their mind. If they want to do some business, we would do, you know, take this money. Otherwise, no, just for just expands here and there, no. So, well, something like for 3 years would be our first bet.
Yeah. So a 3-year time horizon, I would typically say let's get it out of the mutual funds because we want to have it available. You know, here's what could happen. You know, if you only have a 3-year time horizon, let's say, you know, we skirt a recession this year, but 3 years from now we're heading into a major recession. Well, the market could be down 20, 30, 40%. And it's right about the time the boys are looking to pull that money out and buy a business or buy a home. And so that's why we try to match the risk profile and the investments to the time horizon. Now, if you said, you know, this is money that they're not going to touch for 10 years, well, then I'd say leave it in the mutual funds. But if it's money you want access to in 3 years or less, I'd say you probably want to begin moving out of the mutual funds, especially now with the S&P 500 hitting yet another all-time high today. You'd probably want to move out of the mutual funds before a possible recession and put that money into something more safe or insecure, like a CD, so that we know that 36 months from now, when they're ready to get the money for whatever you're going to allow them to use it for, it's there, and you don't have to worry about what the market is doing. Apart from all of this, I'd encourage you guys to connect with an advisor. We recommend Certified Kingdom Advisors, and you can find one there in your area, Kelly, at faithfi.com. But thanks to you and your husband for calling today. God bless you. Let's go to Cleveland. Hi, Tony. How can I help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a IRA at Fidelity from a previous employer, and I'm 65 and still working. I have a new job with another 401k. Should I lump that with that new employer? Should I let Fidelity manage it with a cost? Should I put it in a CD? Should I get some annuities? What should I do?
Yeah. And you said your age is 65, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And how much do you have in that IRA at Fidelity?
$100,000.
Okay. All right. And what other retirement assets do you have?
That's pretty much it. Started late in life, and
that's
all I have, and then what I have with the new employer.
Sure. And then do you plan on working, Tony, for the foreseeable future?
Yes.
Okay. You know, you're probably not going to be able to roll it into the 401k. You might have been able to go from 401k to 401k. Now that it's in the IRA, I don't think you'd be able to put it into the 401k. So I think you probably want to hire an advisor to manage it for you. But here's the thing. I mean, you're continuing to work for the foreseeable future. Let's say you don't have any end in sight. You continue to let God use you right where you're at and use your skills and abilities. That's great. You know, we need this money to last a long time. And even if you were fully retired, I'd say potentially you need this money to last for 3 decades or more, depending on how long the Lord has for you. And of course, none of us know that. And so I think the goal is for you not to take unnecessary risk, but to keep this money working for you. And at 65, you know, you probably want to keep somewhere between 40 and 45% in stocks, just to give it the ability to keep growing with maybe, you know, 55 to 60% in bonds to give it more stability. And that way, as you're continuing to work, you've got a growth component, but when you need to, you could convert it to an income stream. You know, I'd say at some point you could take $4,000 or $5,000 a year from it just to supplement Social Security and, you know, any part-time income that you have. I think the other goal you should have, other than hiring an advisor to manage this, would be to delay taking Social Security until age 70 if you can, because you're continuing to work. And that way your Social Security is going to be probably, you know, 25% or so higher than what the Social Security statement says you would get at full retirement age. Because every year you wait past age 70, it's going to add 8%, and that's a permanent increase for the rest of your life. And that way we can grow this $100,000 and maximize it while you're still working, let your Social Security keep growing. And that way, at some point, if you do need to, you know, get redirected to whatever God has for you next and you're unable to work for pay, then, you know, you could rely on a higher Social Security check and hopefully, you know, a retirement account that is now worth $150,000, and, you know, you can convert that into an income stream that would meet your obligations. Does that make sense?
It does. Rob, real quick.
Okay.
Yeah. The manager?
I would find an advisor. I'd go to our website. Don't just call the Fidelity call center. I'd go to our website. It might stay at Fidelity, but I'd hire an advisor who's skilled in that. Go to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. Choose the investment category when you get there, or it'll say Find a Professional, and then connect with that person there, faithfi.com. Thanks for your call today. That's going to do it for us today, folks. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll look for you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.